Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the J&K India Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Utrani from IIFL Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sejal. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome everyone for J&K India 1Q FY25 conference call. The call will be represented by Mr. Arvind Kamath, Chairperson and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Gautam Ramapalli, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Praveen Sate, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Annie Varghese, Senior Manager, Investor Relations. Without further delay, I now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, followed by Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Gaurav. This is Arvind Kamath here, and I welcome you all. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first earnings call following our successful listing on the BSE and NSE on 30th of April this year. So this is a significant milestone in our company's history, and I'm pleased to have this opportunity to address you today. Your attendance here underscores your confidence in and support for our company, and for that, we are sincerely grateful. The past year has been particularly noteworthy for us, culminating in our IPO, which has raised rupees 300 crores in primary capital. So this IPO marks a new chapter for J&K India, providing the capital required for our support to grow future ambitions. I would like to take this opportunity to thank you again and thank all the shareholders for their trust, our employees for their dedication, and our customers for their continued partnership. To provide a quick overview of J&K India, we were established in 2010 with a vision to lead in technically advanced, high-quality heating equipment solutions for critical industries in India and globally. Our mission is rooted in providing the latest engineering services and products that meet the evolving demands of sectors such as oil and gas, petrochemical, and fertilizers. Throughout our journey, we have adhered to our core values of integrity, innovation, and commitment to excellence, which have guided every decision and action shaping our business into what it is today. Basically, our business model is centered on offering end-to-end heating solutions, which include thermal design and detailed engineering to manufacturing, installation, and commissioning of process-fired heaters, reformers, and cracking furnaces. Over the years, our product range has expanded into flares and incinerators as well. Additionally, we are developing capabilities in hydrogen renewable energy systems as well. J&K India's ability to deliver complex, large-scale equipment and projects with precision and reliability has earned the reputation for excellence and gained the trust of leading companies in the industries which we serve. Our manufacturing facility in Mundra, Gujarat, in the SEZ, is well-equipped with advanced processes that enable us to produce high-quality heating equipment and modularize the same. This facility, combined with our strong engineering capabilities, allows us to offer customized solutions tailored to the specific needs of our customers. Our equipment is delivered to customers across India and select international markets, demonstrating our ability to operate on a global scale. Over the years, we have established a proven track record of executing projects, meeting specifications on time and within the budget. This performance has allowed us to pursue increasing larger and more complex orders with time. From a high-level perspective, in Q1 FY25, we reported a revenue of rupees 88 crores, representing a 140% increase year-on-year. This growth is directly attributed to the delivery of our order book milestones. J&K India was also successful in securing significant new orders from industry leaders such as Reliance Industries and Indian Oil Corporation. and also for the new product lines. The company's commitment to innovation is evident in our continuous endeavor in research and development. We are actively exploring new technologies and processes that can enhance the efficiency and sustainability of our products and services. Our strategic focus on expanding our products in renewable energy sectors such as green hydrogen infrastructure positions us well for the future growth. Thank you for your time. And now I will hand over to our CFO, Mr. Praveen Sathe, for the financial overview. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Mr. Kamath. I am pleased to present the financial performance of J&K India for the quarter 1 FY25, our first reporting period post-listing. We have had a strong start to the fiscal year with a revenue from operations reaching 880 million rupees, marking a 140% increase on year-on-year basis. Our operating profit for the quarter was 352 million, reflecting a margin of 38.8%. The EBITDA for the quarter was 121 million, reflecting a margin of 13.4%. Our EBITDA margin has gone down as compared to the same period last year. This is mainly due to the increased operational cost as we scale up our business and invest in future growth. Also, the creation of ESOP reserves to the tune of 546 million rupees for the employee benefit. The profit after tax for the quarter was 64 million rupees as a 62.6% increase on year-on-year basis, with EPS standing at 1.30. Our order book remains strong, standing at 12,461 million with a well-diversified composition. Geographically, 91% of our current order book is driven by the Indian customer requirement and 9% orders coming from the international markets. Product-wise, heating equipment amounts to 95% of our current order book and 5% from the waste gas handling equipment like flares and incinerators. End-user-wise, refining sector currently contributes almost 55% of our order book, followed by the petrochemicals at 33% and the steel at 12%. The order wins for quarter 1 FY25 also reflect our strong market position. By geography, Indian orders dominated with 91% and by product, heating equipment contributed 91% of the orders. The remaining 9% orders were for the waste gas handling equipment like flares and incinerators. The end user wise, oil and gas refining, petrochemicals were the major contributors. In Q1 FY25, 91% of our operating revenue of 880 million was generated from India and 9% coming from the exports. By product, heating equipment contributed almost 96% of our revenue and 4% came from the flares and incinerators. By end-user industries, the refining sector led with 70.6% of the revenue, followed by petrochemicals at 18% and the steel at 11.4%. From a capital structure perspective, the funds raised from our IPO have significantly strengthened our balance sheet, providing the support necessary for our working capital and future growth. Looking ahead, we are optimistic about the upcoming quarters. Our order book is strong and we are well positioned to leverage growth opportunities within the industries we cater to. Management remains focused on order book execution and navigating through any future risks such as raw material cost pressures. At the closing, I would like to thank all for your time and attention today, and we appreciate your continued support and interest in J&K India. And I would request...
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So we have currently order book of around 1200 crores. So what is the execution period for this, and what proportion of this will get executed in the current year?
Hi, Mahesh. Mahesh, can I please request you to be a little more louder?
Sure. Should I repeat the question?
Thank you.
Should I repeat the question?
Yes, please, Mahesh.
Yeah, so basically, sir, we have order book around 1200 crores. So what is the execution time for this, and what proportion of this order book will be get executed in current year?
Hi, Mahesh. So basically, you know, our order book is 1246 crores as on first quarter end. And this has been a significant order win in this quarter. So I would say that, you know, it's the... one of the quarters where we got the maximum order inflow. And maybe if you remember in our earlier discussions, our order book stood at 620 crores as on 1st of April. So basically we endeavored to execute whatever the order book was there, which was as on end of March in this financial year. And whatever the new order inflow is there, that will get partly executed in this financial year and mainly in the next financial year. So just to answer your question in short, the complete 1246 order book should ideally get executed in the this year and next year.
Okay, sure. And sir, over the next 12 to 18 months, what is the order inflow in terms of opportunity for a bidding? Any bidding pipeline you would like to share?
See, we have a very healthy bidding pipeline. I cannot give you the absolute numbers, but we have a healthy bid pipeline in domestic market as well as in international market. And all the opportunities that have been announced in the recent past, we are qualified to bid for all those opportunities, and we are hopeful to, you know, secure further orders in Q3 and Q4.
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, Mahesh, I mean Q2 as well. Yes. So basically, you know, the big pipeline roughly stands at something like 4,000 crores, wherein maybe about 1,500 crores is for domestic and 2,500 crores is for exports. So, which, you know, we can look at order, winning some of the orders at least.
So is it reasonable to assume that 20% could be hit rate for us?
Generally going by the past trend, it could be 20-25%, but it also depends on some orders. Finalization itself could get extended as well. So, you know, sometimes these projects take time. That's why our order inflow for the last quarter of last financial year was very less. And that's why we were guiding that many orders finalization moved to this quarter, I mean the last quarter. So which actually happened, if you see. So it does get extended at times, Mahesh. So.
Sure. So thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mahesh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Hope I'm audible.
Yes, Darshan.
Hi. So, sir, just a bit because you're new to the company, so I just want to understand how our margin profile behaves, right? Like, we could see in our past also, like, we had some fluctuation, like, we could go to 30% and 20%. So, I just wanted to understand, like, what is the margin profile that, you know, we have? So, what would you guide for, sir?
Yeah, Darshan. In the past also, we have given a guidance of 18% EBITDA and around 11%-12% of PAT. And that's how historically our margin profile has been. And if you see quarter on quarter, there can be certain variations depending upon what kind of supplies that we do in that particular quarter. But annually, we give a guidance of around 18% of EBITDA and around 11%-12% of PAT.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And sir, just like the way you were talking about our execution, so current year we could expect like a revenue of 700 crores plus because I think 640 was opening order book and some of new orders could be included. So what could be the, you know, revenue guidance for this year and next year?
Yes, Darshan. As Mr. Kamath said, we endeavor to execute the entire opening order book in this fiscal and some part of the new orders also. So you can infer that way, provided there are no, you know, any uncertainties or unforeseen events happening. This should be the understanding.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. And so on a long-term basis, like for the next 3 years, what would be our vision, sir?
I did not get your question. On the long-term basis, can you please repeat?
So I was saying on a long-term basis for the next, you know, maybe 3 years, what is like our company's vision? Like, what level do you want to reach at? You know, like, could you just, you know, brief us on that? Like, any type of target for revenue or something? Anything is fine.
Darshan, I mean, see, we've got a significant order from Reliance in this quarter, which is the first for us in the cracking furnace. I don't know whether you're kind of aware of this market. So basically, there are fire heaters, reformers, and cracking furnaces. So cracking furnace is most critical and a large value CapEx in many of the projects, petrochemical projects. And you also may be aware that in India, there are at least 4 to 5 petrochemical projects are announced now by companies like BPCL, Haldia Petro, and GAIL, and also by IOCL Paradip. So, you know, the opportunities are quite a lot significant for next 3 to 5 years for us. So, you know, we are generally, from the revenue perspective, we are definitely looking at around 25%-30% increase year on year. That is what has happened in last year as well, and seems to be, you know, we should be able to exceed that in the next couple of years as well. But adding on to that, we are also adding on new capabilities in terms of the waste gas handling products, which we also got the first order from IOCL in this quarter. That is for incinerator, and also we are developing capabilities for the flare. And other than that, even in the renewable sector, we are, you know, quite bullish on in terms of the hydrogen and other opportunities what we have.
So currently, are we, you know, do we have products ready to serve the renewable market, or, you know, are we, you know, what kind of, like, you know, preparedness do we have to, you know, enter that market?
Listen, I mean, we have already executed a green hydrogen project in IOCL, Faridabad. So, which is already, hydrogen fuel station is ready. It is from basically CBG, from the biogas, compressed biogas to hydrogen. So it's a green hydrogen as classified by Government of India. So that plant is already commissioned by us. And we're looking for opportunities in this segment, and we do get qualified to quote for this project.
Oh, that's great to hear, sir. And so just like my final question, sir, like when we bid for orders, so do we have like any price escalation clause with us, or you know, do we have a raw material pass through in case there's a sudden spike in that, or how do we manage that, sir?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have the price escalation clause in the purchase orders, but what happens is that the raw material purchased by us from a percentage perspective is quite low. It's, not even maybe 10% of the order value. So that's how we take care in the contingencies, and most of the critical raw material is ordered immediately on receipt of the order from customer, or we take a back-to-back proposals from the key suppliers. So that once we receive the order, these items are procured immediately. So if there is any fluctuation, it doesn't hit us.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, sir. Yeah, that's it from my side. So all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Darshan. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is on the export side. I think we were expecting a closure of few projects. My question is, what is delaying?
Mohit, can you be little louder, please?
Yeah. Is it better now?
Yeah.
So on the export side, we are expecting a closure of few projects. My question is, what is delaying the finalization of the projects? And can we expect some closure in the fiscal?
Yeah, hi Mohit. I mean, there has been a bit of a delay in terms of the finalization on the export projects which we have quoted. So the bid pipeline stands as it is. So we are definitely expecting certain closure in this fiscal, no doubt about it. Yeah, it did get delayed. And because these are all large CapEx projects, and there is always certain delays happen. As I told earlier, even in the domestic finalization, we were expecting certain orders in the last quarter of the last financial year, last fiscal. But it kind of spilled over, and we received it in this, first quarter of this fiscal. But even in exports, as we say, our CEO and the marketing head are traveling abroad even in this week. So we do expect some orders in this fiscal for sure.
Understood, sir. My second question on the Reliance order, it's a large order. This is the first time we are doing gas cracking furnace in India. My question is, what is the timeline for the execution of these projects? And what we need to do, do we need to do some extra capex to execute these projects?
The timeline from Reliance is 21 and 22 months for this project to complete. I think two furnaces in 21 months and two furnaces in 22 months. And we don't need any additional capex to execute this project. Whatever the existing, the facilities we have, that is sufficient. We might have to create some facilities at the site to execute the job. That's it.
My third question on the, if you remember correctly, we are looking at CBG opportunities. Do you think we can do something in this fiscal?
Yeah, CBG, yeah, we are still bidding for some of the jobs. There is a bit of a delay in finalization because of the basically the operation of the existing plant smoothening to the extent of customers' expectations has not happened, including the Reliance plant and some other plants. So that's why it's taking a bit of a delay. But yeah, we have quoted for some of the jobs for CBG as well. And we do expect some jobs at least in this fiscal year in our renewable segment.
The last question, sir, just on the order prospect which you have right now, would you like to give any order inflow guidance for this fiscal?
As far as the order inflow guideline is quite difficult in terms of the project opportunities and the sizes what we handle. There's always a delay or sometimes, some projects come up quite quickly. Like you might be aware that BCCL has announced Bina refinery expansion just last month. And last week they placed the PMC order on EIL. So it's also possible that the cracking furnace for that contract also might get closed in this fiscal. So, such things happen in the complex projects which we handle, even the CPCL which was delayed by 2 years. So now they're talking of starting the project again. So, you know, it is a bit difficult to actually give a guidance on the order inflow per se.
Understood. On the CPCL orders, sir, are we expecting this to get finalized by the company, by the CPCL in this fiscal? Or do you think this will spill over to F26?
It might get spillover as well, because they are now speaking of reviving the project, so they will have to start sending the inquiries again and then start getting the proposals and finalization. So there could be some finalization in this fiscal and some in the next fiscal.
Well, sir, one question I can ask you. So the Petronet order, the hedge order, right? Petronet is doing something on the Petchem. Do we have something, do you think we have, we can... something of our interest in the particular project?
Which Petchem project did you say, Mohan?
Petronet LNG, I think I just announced something.
That is a PDH project. There are 5 heaters in that. There are no cracking furnace in that. There is no cracker in that Petchem project, but there is a unit called PDH where there are 5 heaters involved.
Understood, sir. Understood, sir. Thank you. And best of luck, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Uttrani from IIFL Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Sir. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, just wanted to check on the order which we have received for cracking furnace from Reliance. So, this would be our first order. So, are we executing this order in tie-up with some other players, or is it like we are taking on a standalone basis?
Yeah, hi Gaurav. I mean, there is a basically a technology part, and there is a domestic procurement and execution part. The technology licensing is by Lummus, because the current license was by Technip, and that's how we were competing with Technip for this project. So it is like Reliance has given basically a 2 orders: one for a technology part on Lummus, and second for the complete engineering procurement and execution part, which is on J&K India.
Okay. So, sir, how would be our revenue sharing in this? Like, would it be like we'll be taking a whole 700 crores on our books, or how the arrangement is between the two players?
So we'll be taking the entire revenue of whatever orders are given to us, because 2 separate orders they are issuing. They are issuing a separate order on Lummus and separate order on J&K India.
So our part, whatever you have specified, is only for our portion of it. There is no Lummus portion in that.
Okay, sir. And second question is on the inflows, where we have received one inflow of from J&K Global as well towards execution. So are we expecting similar sort of order in FY25 and 26 as well? Any broad timeline or in terms of visibility, if we can highlight on that part?
So in terms of the whatever the export pipeline, which I said about 3,000 crores, out of that about 1,000 crores is to J&K Global or along with J&K Global. So, it depends on when or what will get finalized. So that if it gets any of the J&K Global opportunities gets finalized, it will be through there. But it's difficult to predict exact timeline for the same.
Okay. And sir, thirdly, on the margins front, like what we have seen in terms of EBITDA margin, it's lesser by almost like 10% if you compare to last year. So any thing which you can highlight, is it change in revenue mix, or what has led to this decline in margin if you compare to last year as well, or if you compare to 4Q for the company?
Yes, Gaurav, there are 2 to 3 factors in this. One factor is, always the quarter one revenue. If you see, it's much lower than the quarter three and quarter four revenues. So per se, against our expenses of the complete quarter, the revenue booking itself is on the lower side. Even this year also, it is, though we have done comparatively far better than last year, still comparing to our annual guidance or annual projections, what we have, the revenue for the first quarter is low. So that's one of the reasons why the margins are also comparatively on the lower side. And also the second is, I think we mentioned in the presentation as well, we had to make a provision for ESOP to the extent of almost 5.46 crores, which has obviously hit the the profits as well. So, and also the revenue mix, how it goes the first quarter, considering that. But on an average, on a year, we are confident of achieving the guidance numbers what we achieve almost every year.
Okay, sir. Sir, I'll join back the queue. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, we are part of JNK Global. I mean, in the presentation, we mentioned that the firm leverages JNK's global worldwide position to bid for larger projects in overseas markets and gain entry into new markets. So is it possible to spend some few minutes on this, explaining how we are going to get benefit out of this JNK Global while entering into global markets?
Yeah, see, basically JNK Global was established in 1990s as a, offshoot of Delhim. So they had experience of Delhim as well. So since then, they have supplied many fire heaters and reformers and cracking furnaces worldwide. Also through many Korean EPC companies. So they are kind of already in the vendor list of many licensing and technology companies worldwide. So that helps in terms of the getting approved and getting inquiries for a larger project. So that's how we are leveraging the JNK Global's positioning, which will benefit us now, because JNK Global currently from Korea, doing the engineering and manufacturing is quite expensive. So wherever they get the inquiries for any larger opportunities in the worldwide, because of their past supplies and their references what they have, so automatically they give the engineering and the manufacturing opportunity to JNK India. And all the engineering and manufacturing is done from JNK India. So that's how we benefit out of this collaboration.
Sure. And the part we supply, sir, is it we manufacture inside everything inside our own plant, or is it we do some work on site also?
Yeah, this all depends on the type of the equipment involved. That is the fire heaters or the form of the tracking furnace and the size and the location. So we have the flexibility, and also depending on the criticality of the equipment in terms of the total package what we are offering. So certain critical components we can do in-house, or if it is some other place closer to the site, if there is a good fabrication shop, we can get it fabricated there, and which is more less critical, or which is physical to do at site, depending also on the logistics, we do at site.
No, I was mentioning about the export side. I mean, given the product is so bulky, supplying from India will be challenging in terms of both the freight and logistics. So when we look at the international market, so are we going to go on the site and execute the project, or we will send the product from India?
So not really, Mahesh, because what happens is that, in the exports, many countries, including, say, Africa, USA or Australia, the execution at site is extremely difficult and also very expensive and very time-consuming. So what these customers prefer, like we have received a contract from USA for the first time in the first quarter for a small fire heater. So they prefer a complete modular construction, which we do at our shop in Mundra. That was the basic purpose of having a large shop in Mundra at SEZ, so that we are able to completely, build them and ship them. The logistic cost, yes, though they are higher, but they become much cheaper than the building the thing at the site. So in terms of time and building at the site, the cost, both becomes more beneficial that we build them completely in Mundra, which is next to the port. That's how we selected the shop, very close to the port. And whatever the size is, we are able to completely modularize construction. We can send it through the barges or the ships through the site.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Gandhi from Invesco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, Sagar, you are. Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, my first question is related to the ESOP provision that you've made. This 5 crore is made during Q1, or and anything further likely to be made over the next 3 quarters? That is the first question.
Yes, Sagar. This provision is made for this quarter, and every quarter there will be a provision, and that provision corresponds to the market value at the end of the quarter. So accordingly, whatever is unallotted portion, that provision we have to make. So some provision will come in Q2, Q3 and Q4 also.
Okay, perfect. Second is, sir, on the order inflow. So you mentioned the total addressable market or the opportunity that you will try and capitalize on is 4,000 crores, of which your market share can be anywhere between 15 and 25%. So, sir, this you are talking for 25 or 26?
25 and 26, Sagar. There could be some spillover to 26 as well for some finalization.
Okay. Sir, you believe that FY26 inflows to be better than FY25?
That's a bit difficult to comment on that as on now, but yeah, generally it looks like that considering the projects announced in India and also the projects expected abroad. It looks like that. I mean, the inflow should be better in 26, yeah.
Versus 25, yeah. Thank you so much, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the opportunity once again. My question again, a clarification on the ESOP expense which has come in this quarter. And what you said, it is likely to continue for the next 3 quarters. Do you think a similar amount of similar nature, or do you think it is a decline over the next 3 quarters? And
Mohit, that will typically depend upon the share price. Because if the share price goes up, the proportionate ESOP valuation goes up, and I will have to make a pro rata provision for the quarter. So, as I told earlier, it will depend upon the price at the end of the quarter, the closing price at the end of the quarter.
And this will get over by F25, right? F26 days they will.
Yes.
Understood, sir. My second question, sir, on the of course, this is the first time we are seeing the company in terms of quarterly run rate. So how do you think about the quarterly run rate in general, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4? How should we think about it, you know, in general? Let's say if you do whatever number, 100 rupee in the entire Cisco, what would be the execution run rate in Q1, Q2, Q3 and Q4? If you can give some color, it will be helpful for us.
Yeah, Mohit, historically what has been the case is whatever we had done in Q1 and Q2, almost double we have done in Q3 and Q4. That has been the historical trend.
Any color on Q1 and Q2 run rate? It should be one-third, right? One-third of the entire execution of the fixed scope. Is that right understanding? One-third and two-third, right? One-third in the H1, two-third in the H2. That's it, right?
No. Yes, right. Technically right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Utani from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up, sir. So just one question on tax expenses. Like we have seen a tax rate to be comparatively lower. So any particular reason, like why it was low in 1Q for the same, and what would be for the full year?
Yeah, Gaurav. Basically, this is the tax expense corresponding to the profit for the quarter. So, the tax expense for the total year would be definitely higher. So, it has not been made on annualized basis. So, it is directly corresponding to the profit for the quarter.
Got it, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kemat for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you everyone for joining our Q1 FY 2025 earnings call. Once again, we appreciate your time in joining this call and learning more about J&K India. We look forward to your support and look forward to continuing our post-IPO journey with your support. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact us. We will be more than happy to address your queries. Thank you.
On behalf of IIFL Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.